First John chapter 2, verse 28. We've titled this section, A Purifying Hope. And this will be our third message on this important subject that emphasizes the anatomy of genuine hope for the Christian and the ethical implication of our hope in Christ is the subject before us. Let us read together just one verse this morning, 1 John 2:28. Our goal is to prepare for the Lord's table. I will be brief. Just one big point this morning from verse 28 as we prepare for the Lord's table. Let us read together. Now little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink away from him in shame at his coming. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, just pray as we prepare for the Lord's table, your Holy Spirit would teach us this great principle of what it means to abide in Christ, related to the anatomy of hope, related to our purifying hope. Just pray that your precious ones that you've drawn here today would grow in grace, that you would encourage them, strengthen them. Dear God, bear fruit through the foolishness of preaching. Just confess the sins of the messenger. Again, we just marvel, we are in awe that we hold the treasure of truth, the Word of God, in our hands, and we have this treasure in earthen vessels so that the surpassing greatness of the power would be of God and not of us. Bear great fruit today. Accept this now as an act of worship, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. And so last week we moved from the genuine hope that we all have in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we will indeed meet him at his coming, to the purifying nature of that certain hope related to real life, ministry, motives, knowing that every single believer will appear before the judgment seat of Christ for the purpose of receiving eternal rewards. Really interesting subject matter. We developed that in great detail last Sunday. Now, this morning, we'll march back into this context, look at verse 28 with me, and just briefly again, as we prepare for the Lord's Supper, if you would be so gracious, I just want to emphasize one point this morning. Look at verse 28, this phrase, look at it with me in your Bible, abide in him. In order to have a genuine hope in salvation, in order to extrapolate into a purifying hope that is the result of your salvation in life and ministry, beloved, every single believer must learn this principle of abiding in Christ, abiding in him. Really foundational message this morning. Such an important seminal phrase in the New Testament that John uses and emphasizes related to his signature in the Gospel of John itself. Some 15 times John uses this word, and I just want to show you that briefly. Look at John 15, and then we'll move on to begin this morning to define what it means to abide in Christ. Very important subject this morning. John 15, very quickly, John uses this term some 15 times, and you see it, most of them occur right here in John chapter 15. Look at John 15, beginning in verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Look at verse 6. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them and they cast them into the fire and they are burned. Verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you wish and it will be done for you. Look at verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Even back in chapter 13, you don't have to turn there, but you have the exact same phrase related to the disciples. As Judas defected from the group, the Lord Jesus said to the disciples, abide in me and I in you. And for the rest of our time, I just want to help you understand and think deeply about what it means now to abide in Christ. Abiding in Christ is not at all mystical. It's not at all subjective or experiential. It's not at all charismatic. It is not passive. It is not ascetic. It is not eccentric. In fact, the Apostle Paul, he does not use the term abide, but the Holy Spirit gave the Apostle Paul the emphasis of simply persevering in the faith. And when you think of this term, abide in Jesus, abide in Christ, and you read John 15 and you read that wonderful passage about abiding in the vine and bearing much fruit, the Apostle Paul goes on to speak of that abiding simply as persevering in your Christian faith. Listen to Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 21. Continue in the faith, firmly established and steadfast, not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard. This is perhaps the best simple definition of what it means to abide in Christ. We must continue, beloved, in our faith, firmly established, steadfast, not moved away from the hope of the gospel that we have heard. That's Colossians chapter 1, verses 21 through 23. Let me unfold that. Let me unpack that just for a couple of moments here before we partake of the Lord's Supper. And I want you to just think deeply with me. And we started on this train of thought last Sunday, and I'll just develop this for a moment or two more this morning. Think with me, please, deeply. The God of Scripture, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible proclaims God as sovereign in salvation. What does that mean? The Bible says God has predestined believers from before the foundation of the world. God has elected believers from before the foundation of the world. God has chosen believers from before the foundation of the world. Praise God, I believe that. It's in the Bible. I know that is true from the Scripture, from my own reason, and from my own personal experience. I would not have come to the Lord Jesus unless God had set His love upon me. But at the very same time, without any contradiction whatsoever, every single person in this room, young, old, and middle-aged, must come in time and space and repent and believe the gospel. Now think with me, I'm building a syllogism here. God is sovereign in salvation. He predestines believers from before the foundation of the world. I don't know how that works. The Bible teaches it. I believe it. But at the very same time, sinners must respond. They must believe. They must receive the gospel. They must repent and trust Christ by faith that He died for their sins, shed His blood, and rose from the grave for their justification. Now, take that one step further with me. And this is not a digression on the sovereignty of God. This is just a syllogism we're building. Follow this pattern. Second, God has promised what? The perseverance of the believer. The perseverance of the Christian. It is one of the five tenets of the Reformation. The perseverance of the saints. Bible teaches it over and over and over and over. Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Of all that the Father has given me, Jesus said, I lose nothing. He who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ. And you can just continue on and on and on. Verses just come right to mind in context. God is sovereign. But men must repent and believe the gospel. God has promised the perseverance of the saints in his word. But at the very same time, without any contradiction, we as believers must continue to believe. We must continue on in the faith, firmly established and steadfast, not moved away from the hope of the gospel. There is no contradiction in that syllogism. And as you begin to move and be active and have your being in Christian circles, like many of us have over the years and decades, you find out very, very quickly, as you become a committed member of the body of Christ and you begin to serve in the body and you begin to have relationships, many of us for years and years and years, you have all of a sudden you have these anecdotal examples. Tell me if this isn't true. You know all of these people, you've heard of all of these people now. They once professed Jesus as Lord and Savior, maybe baptized, maybe served in some Sunday school ministry. But this morning, they're not abiding in Christ. They're not persevering in the faith. They're not continuing firm and steadfast. We could make a list that has innumerable numbers of people. And you see so many examples of people who are not abiding in Christ today. It simply means to continue on, to persevere in the faith. I want to share one sentence with you that will really make you think, that was given to me as I was learning the book of 1 John. I tried to boil this down into just one nice, neat sentence. Listen to this. This was given to me. This is not original. This is something that I was given as I was learning the book of 1 John. Quote, "In order to abide in Christ, believers must continue to love Christ, to love and obey the Scripture, submit to the direction of the Holy Spirit, and remain committed to the truth they first received. Abiding in Christ precludes clinging to habitual patterns of sin." I'm just going to unpack that for another moment or two, and then we'll take the Lord's Supper together. That is the best single explanation you will ever find related to the definition of what it means to abide in Christ. It's not complicated, it's not mystical, it's not experiential, it's not ascetic. In order to continue on and abide in Christ, we must continue to love the Lord Jesus. We must love God. We must continue to love and obey the Scripture as it's brought to bear on our lives. We must submit then to the direction of the Holy Spirit as the Word of God is brought to bear in our lives. You know this is true. The Holy Spirit speaks to you about something. It either encourages you or convicts you or leads you in a direction of ministry or a life circumstance. And you have to submit to the direction of the Holy Spirit related to the Word of God. And then we must remain committed to this truth that we first received and believed. And all of this will not happen if people are continuing to hold on to lifelong patterns of sin and disobedience. If you've ever counseled anybody, marriage counseling or discipleship, many of us have had these opportunities. When things really go bad for people, and they get to the point where they're saying, I don't even know what to do. I don't even know if I believe in Christ. It's happened. I've heard it many, many times. I mean, the first question you ask as a counselor, I just do this now without even thinking. In love, in humility, you say, well, what sin are you engaged in right now that's keeping you from God? Because you can't abide You can't continue to persevere in the things of God if there are these habits of disobedience that are being hidden and cultivated behind in the darkness that no one sees, and continue to hold on and persevere and listen to the Holy Spirit. And this is what it means to abide in Christ. To continue to persevere. To listen to the Holy Spirit, to love God, to love the Word of God, to put off sin. In order to abide in Christ, we must hear the truth, respond to the truth, believe the truth, obey the truth, and continue to love the truth. And as we close this morning, and we're going to come back to this next time, as we come back to 1 John 2:28, such an important subject, because I know you've turned, if you still have John 15 open, look at back in John 15 with me. This is such a monumentally important subject because of this section in John 15, starting, look at verse 2 there. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Again, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. This is such a powerful context. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. And then verse 6. Verse 6 is maybe the most underrated element of our need to persevere in the faith and continue on. If anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and they cast them into the fire and they are burned. This is explicitly the language of eternal condemnation for the one who does not abide and continue to abide. This is the language of one who has turned away from faith in Christ. They no longer abide in Christ. They are thrown away, verse 6, as a branch. They are thrown into the fire. This is one who does not believe. And this is the essential teaching on abiding in Christ, to persevere, to continue to love and obey Christ, to continue to listen to the Holy Spirit, to continue in the truth of the Word of God, and to understand the gravity of sin and to put off sin when the Holy Spirit speaks to you about that. Let's pray. Our Father, just briefly as we prepare for the Lord's table this morning, just pray for your Word and the reading of Scripture and the explanation of Scripture, just the great principles of abiding this morning. Just pray that your Spirit would do the work of teaching and encouragement and convicting. Dear God, that we would continue in the faith firmly established and steadfast, not moving away from the hope of the gospel that we have received and heard. I pray for that. I pray in this week and in the coming weeks we would take seriously this biblical message of abiding in Christ, and that Jesus is the true vine, and we must continue to persevere and hold on as we're grafted into that vine by faith, that we must continue to believe. I pray for that message, dear God, in this difficult world of confusion around us. Dear God, where so much of truth has been altered and changed and mitigated so as to calm the conscience of people who are not walking with Christ, even as the Old Testament prophets proclaim peace, peace, when there is no peace. Pray your word, dear God, would do its work of warning and encouragement, and that we would see the necessity of continuing on and persevering, abiding in Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.